May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be now and always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. It seems, doesn't it, to be so strange to have war raging in Ukraine on the European continent, to have this war in the 21st century. And that's an expression we often use, in the 21st century. When we hear of things like discrimination, sexist language, for me as an HR person, these recent P&O actions, when we hear of wars, we say to ourselves very often, how can this happen in the 21st century? What do we mean when we use that expression in the 21st century? I think what we mean is that we assume that somehow the world has moved on, that we have moved on, that we don't do those sort of things anymore, that those sort of things are an aberration, they are the unusual thing, and that society has changed and doesn't allow that anymore, that we also have changed. And we keep thinking that until something happens, until there is a war, until there is a tower block fire, a murder. And we tell ourselves that these are the exceptions, and they are. They always have been. But the thing is, they've not gone away. That tendency towards evil erupts all too easily. And I was reflecting on this recently as I was preparing parents and godparents for a baptism that is coming up. And I was reflecting on this because one of the things I always like to do in preparing for a baptism is to make people aware of the enormity and the unusual nature of the promises that parents and godparents will be making. These promises are not the kind we promise every day. They have to do with turning away from evil, rejecting sin, rejecting the devil, and instead turning to Christ. Big, big promises that are made. And in speaking to the parents and godparents, and considering these promises, I was reminded again of comments I've heard over the years. Comments along the lines that the Christian faith and the Christian church seems to have an obsession with sin. An obsession with sin. And if obsession is too strong, perhaps a fixation or a major issue with sin. This view would suggest that Christianity always seems to focus on what is wrong with what people do. It always seems ready to criticize, always seems ready to see the worst in people. You might have felt this way slightly at times. You might, for example, question why every service we have virtually has in it a confession where we come often on our knees to confess. You might think to yourself that Christ's message was surely not about sin, it was about love. And if we would only focus also on love, if we could forget about the focus on sin and just focus on love, the Christian faith would be far easier to share, far more palatable for people to accept. You might have heard, or you might have heard it said, that this focus on sin is very Old Testament. It's rather old-fashioned, outmoded, not the kind of thing we need in the 21st century. That's the gist of the view of Christianity having an issue with sin. Now, I would say that Christianity does have a fixation, an issue, perhaps an obsession. It does have, but not about sin. The obsession in Christianity is with forgiveness. It is with forgiveness. Christianity focuses on what can be done about sin, the consequences of sin. How do we deal with sin? How can sin be forgiven? That's true of many parts of the Old Testament and the New Testament. Let's look at the Old Testament first. If you were to ask yourself, what is the Old Testament's answer to how we deal with sin? I think many of us would say it revolves around the Ten Commandments and all the other laws, that the way to deal with sin in the Old Testament is find all these laws and obey as many of them as you can. But we know that that is not the whole story. We know that because of what Sue just read to us. Do you recall that? If not, you might want to take your service sheet, look again at the reading from Isaiah chapter 55, and look at verse 3, which says, "Hear, that your soul may live." God, through Isaiah, is urging people to hear that they may live. Verse 6, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. And then most strongly, verse 7, return to the Lord. Not that he may punish you, not that he may judge you. Return to the Lord, that he may have compassion, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. That doesn't sound to me like someone desperately trying to follow lots and lots of rules to avoid sin. That sounds like somebody who's recognized that they have a problem with sin and that this issue can be addressed if they will respond to God, if they will hear God, if they will seek God, and if they will call upon God. If they return to God, if they do that, God will have compassion. God will abundantly pardon. That's what the passage tells us. Recognize sin as being a deadly trap. Turn from it. Turn to God and receive God's pardon. That's an example of the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, well, it's even clearer in the reading for today. It's so clear that it sounds almost as if Jesus was urgently saying to people, listen to this, because he uses the same words, exactly the same words, twice. We read in the gospel that some people present, we don't know who, said to Jesus, oh, did you hear about these Galileans, people from Jesus' home region? Did you hear about these Galileans that Pontius Pilate, the governor, killed? This phrase, mingled their blood with their sacrifices, implies that they were sacrificing to God when they were killed. Why did the people tell Jesus about those Galileans who had been killed? What were they trying to say? Well, we don't really know, but Jesus seemed to know because he said to them, do you think that what happened to these Galileans was because they were worse than all the other Galileans? And his answer is clear, no. And then he gives them an example, the 18 who were killed when the tower fell down. He says they were not worse sinners than all the other people in Jerusalem. What he seems to be saying is, I'm not going to get into a debate about different levels of sin or causes of sin. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to debate about sin. What I am going to tell you is what you can do about sin. And he repeats himself, verse 3. And verse 5, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. His words could hardly be more clear. He pushes aside the examples of Siloam and of the people Pilate killed, and he gives them that answer. Unless you repent. And I started to feel that there's a disconcerting truth here. And I struggled to find an image for it. And I came up with this one. Imagine an endless stream of people on an enormously long conveyor belt, escalator, all going in the same direction, all heading down, though they don't know it, into the gloom, all going past signs and people saying to them that they're going the wrong way, that there's nothing good waiting for you down that way. You see, we are all, we humans, on that escalator. It is not disobedience to the law, it is not sin itself, which is the biggest problem we face. That is part of the human condition. We're told in Romans that all have sinned, everybody. We're all alike when it comes to that. But the deepest problem is not that we sin, but that we reject the gift of forgiveness. We reject that free gift, the mercy of God. We reject that gift of forgiveness. It's as if on that escalator, we just ignore the people, we ignore the signs, and we just carry on. The deepest sin is that we do not hear the Lord, we do not seek the Lord, we do not call upon the Lord. We do not, in the words of our Savior, repent. And it does seem to me that that is the, perhaps obsession is not the right word, but that is the fixation. That is the heart of the Christian message. Not telling people that they've sinned, not telling them how they have sinned, but the central message is with the gift of forgiveness, the gift that needs to be received, the gift that will never be forced upon people. And surely, if that is our message to the world, if that is what we are saying, that there is forgiveness in Jesus Christ, what a welcome message that will be. Amen.